live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. If you were listening last weekend, you know we were coming way from the East Coast, from the island of Fire Island in New York, on the Atlantic Ocean. And, of course, we've crisscrossed the country twice since then. Of course, that's what we like to do every week. We just live for airline food. Get out your maps, boys and girls. We're at 20 degrees, 48 minutes north. That's 156 degrees, 20 minutes west. We are coming to you from the Pacific side of things, the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa in Maui. And taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Lots of stuff in the news, of course. The Continental-UA merger moving right along, whatever that means. We're going to talk about that. Where is United going to stay? Where is Continental going to stay? What hubs are in danger? What hubs are sort of like grandfathered in? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to your frequent flyer points? Does that mean you have to go to an art supply store and get a picture frame just to hang them on the wall because you can't use them? Maybe. We'll talk about that. There's some actual talk in Congress of government regulation of the programs. And you know why? Because everybody in Congress is a member, and they can't redeem their miles. And you know what? No judge is going to throw it out because they can't redeem their miles. You've got an angry population there of people who've earned miles and can't redeem them. And if you actually did the actual numbers, they would be staggering to you. Listen to this. The airlines make more money from their frequent flyer programs than they do operating as airlines. Now, if that doesn't make any sense to you, let me run the numbers for you. The airlines are essentially printing the currency. They are selling gazillions of dollars worth of miles to their thousands of marketing partners who then give you 1 mile per dollar that you spend. Well, that sounds great, right? Except for one thing. The airlines are also controlling the redemption. So if they keep the redemption under 10%, that's a 90% return on investment the Sopranos worship at the airline's altar. It is out of control. And guess what? That's exactly what's happening. As I'm speaking to you today, there are nearly 18 trillion eligible to be redeemed, unredeemed miles. Whoops. And it's going to get worse because we're getting mergers now. Northwest and Delta, now Continental and UA. That doesn't mean there'll be more available seats. That means there'll be less. What's even crazier are the airline employees themselves who joined the airline for what? Flight benefits, the ability to fly when they wanted to. They can't even do it anymore. And what's worse, all those pilots and flight attendants who are commuters, who can't afford to live in the cities in which they're based, they still need to get to their flights. We're going to be doing a story soon on CBS on, guess what, all the outrageous crash pads that are popping up in New York and Chicago and Dallas and Atlanta and Los Angeles, in Miami, with 12 beds to a room, for pilots and flight attendants to crash because they have to get to their airports 3 to 4 days early because there's no guarantee they're going to get on a flight. They can't even get on flights. Which brings up the next item up for bids here on The Price Isn't Right. And that is the law of supply and demand kicks in when you reduce capacity and there are fewer planes and fewer flights and fewer seats. That means the prices have nowhere to go but up. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So the basic model of buying airline tickets has changed. We have been a country that's been trained by the airlines themselves to wait until the last minute because you can always get a great deal. They're always going to be dumping something. Guess what they're dumping these days? Nothing. They don't have to. As a result, if you've got holiday plans, I don't even care if you're trying on Thanksgiving Day, which used to be the great, you know, killer bargain. Not so much anymore. You better book it now. Do not wait. The only exception to that is overseas flights. Why? It's called bilateral agreements between countries. Under deregulation, if I don't want to fly to Cleveland tomorrow, I'm not penalized. I just don't fly to Cleveland. But if I want to fly to Cairo or London or Paris or Amsterdam or Rome, that comes under bilateral agreements between countries. And I can't just wake up tomorrow morning as an airline and say, oh, we're not going to fly to Rome tomorrow because then we lose the route. They take it away from us. So you're going to start seeing some excess capacity, which was normal and seasonal, starting around now, because kids are back in school, through the end of Thanksgiving, through about the 15th of December, to go to places all over Europe where nobody knows from Turkey and Thanksgiving, and you can get some great deals. It may actually be cheaper to fly to Europe this fall than it is to fly between L.A. and New York. What a concept. So you've been warned by me. Also, we've got some weather issues. Of course, we had the issue with Bermuda earlier in the week. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. I'm going to give you a statistic that I just read. This amazing. Listen to this. You want to know how powerful a Class 5 hurricane is? In 10 minutes, a Class 5 hurricane releases more energy than all the world's nuclear weapons detonated at once. Bet you didn't know that one. That's pretty amazing. And luckily, we haven't had too many bad storms this year. We just skirted one far out, of course. That was Earl. We got up to about 40 knot winds, and that was okay. Anything more than that, we would have had some problems. Bottom line is, you're going to have a problem now with your frequent flyer awards, and you have to start thinking creatively and as a contrarian traveler. So here's what you do. We're coming to you from Hawaii, right? A very popular destination for people who want to redeem their miles. That's why people redeem. People do not redeem their miles to go to Des Moines. They redeem their miles to go to Maui. And why not? It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. All right. Now, how are you going to do it now if the airlines tell you there are no seats available? Well, you get out a map and think exactly the opposite. You want to go from Los Angeles to Maui? Go via Chicago. You want to go or via Salt Lake City or via Las Vegas. Don't just think going from east to west is going to solve your problem. And not only that, you pick ridiculous routings because that's the only place you're going to find some availability. Nonstop is not always the answer. Of course, if you're coming to Hawaii, it better be a nonstop because that's the only way you're going to get here. But you may want to stop in another city en route which doesn't have as many people on the flight. That's the first thing you want to do. If you want to fly anywhere else, then you pick alternate cities. And the alternate cities would be Oakland instead of San Francisco, Providence instead of Boston, Burbank instead of LAX or Long Beach, or my favorite city, that's the secret city, which is Long Island, MacArthur Airport out in Islip. Nobody knows it's the secret airport, and it is so cool. You know, they actually have nonstop flights. They're almost a transcon airport now. They have nonstop flights from Islip to Las Vegas. You're almost home if you're going east to west, and the prices are pretty good. So something to think about. The other thing is, keep in mind that we are now, this is a good news item for people who want to listen to us, we're now streaming live on the air. Just go to our website, petergreenberg.com, and we stream live every week from 10 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern, or if you're on the Pacific Coast, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 10 a.m., and of course, it's repeated throughout the weekend. But check it out at petergreenberg.com. And, of course, the imaginatively named website, petergreenberg.com, has all the resources that you want to have, including a list of all the comprehensive aid and resource groups that are working to do the relief work in places where it's needed the most, in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and, of course, in the Gulf. So please check out that site. We're going to get back to you with more about that when we come back from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa. That's a mouthful. Right after this, we're in Maui.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the second largest island in the Hawaiian chain known as Maui. We're at the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa. Taking your calls, 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. Here's a little known fact. I've been coming to Hawaii since I'm about 20. I've been very lucky because I was a correspondent for Newsweek, and they actually let me come here and cover news. And there was news here. It wasn't just shave ice on the North Shore, but that's another story. This is a wild one. At the time of Pearl Harbor, the top U.S. Navy command talk about a bad and misintentioned thing, was called CINCUS. Right now it's called SyncPAC, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific. Then it was called, are you ready? CINCUS, SyncUS. Whoops. Well, obviously that was changed. In any case, back to our website, one more thing. If you go to the website, you can get all the resources, get the podcast of our radio show, and you can always sign up for our free daily newsletter, which we update every 12 hours because travel is news. We're not there to sell you anything. We're there to update stuff because the airlines update their airfares 250,000 times a day. And coming up in a couple of seconds, we'll be talking to somebody who knows a little bit about that, George Hobica, who's the founder of AirfareWatchdog.com. One other thing, you can also subscribe to become an insider. You'll have access to all the archives, the exclusive videos, and a lot more from guess who? Yours truly. Speaking of airfare wars out there, our next guest, George Hobica, wrote something that I thought was absolutely hysterical because I sort of dream about moments like this, and they don't happen to me very often. Obviously, what George wrote about didn't happen either, but he basically hypothesized what would happen if an airline CEO was sitting next to you on the plane. What would you guys be talking about? Well, George, what was your conversation all about?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, Peter, because I actually did sit next to David Nealman once on an airplane, and you know, it's
and
funny.
David Nealman was then the guy from JetBlue.
You know, here he is, of course, JetBlue.
Yeah, yeah.
And he famously has ADD, which he freely admits to. And you know, he was watching the TV and talking to me as a football game on. And he was talking to one of his coworkers across the aisle, and he was talking to me. And he said, "So how do you like your flight?" And I said, "Well, you know, I like JetBlue a lot." I said, "But you know, I think the flight attendants are a little less friendly. You know, since the very beginning of the airline, they're not quite as cheery and you know, super wonderful." And at that point, he just turned around and stopped talking to me. So that was kind of funny. But my premise for this.
So what he was doing, George, was he was doing his impression of a JetBlue flight attendant then?
Probably. But my so I wrote this article for USA Today. .com, and basically it was a kind of a combination of things I've heard from people in the industry and people from the Air Transport Association, and things I've read. I've heard the CEO, the former CEO of American Airlines, speak, and you know, basically I think an airline CEO would say, you know, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to go bankrupt? I mean, you know, you're complaining about the fees, and yet we've done nothing but lose billions of dollars since the Wright brothers took off. We're not charging what it really costs us to deliver the product, and maybe that's our fault as an airline. But you know, do you want to take Bolt Bus to Paris? I mean, if we all go out of business, you're going to have to take the Bolt Bus everywhere.
Well, you know what? Have you been on Bolt Bus? It's not bad.
You know, I haven't. I usually take Amtrak when I go. Anywhere by land.
Well,
or
I have to tell you that. Well, you know what, George, you brought up the bus system. Let's talk about that for a second, because in the last couple of years, let's talk about the stereotypical bus experience. You were sitting on a dark, dingy bus next to a drifter who was drooling, leaning on you. Those days are over. They have actually become very upscale, leather seats. They're nicely air conditioned. There's no smoking. They got Wi-Fi on board. Some of them even have bus attendants. Who will they have a full bar and snacks, and you know what? It's not a bad way to go, considering that the price is truly right.
And a dollar sometimes. And the problem is that when the airlines raise fares, people do take the bus or they stay home. So you know, that's why I think the Continental United merger and the Delta Northwest merger aren't really going to result, you know, universally in very much higher fares, because airlines know that, except for peak holiday travel, which we might want to get to in a second, because I'm looking from New York to Los Angeles, I'm shocked by the holiday fares. Except for peak travel, fares have really gone down, adjusted for inflation.
They have, but let's be relative again, and that is when you kick in the law of supply and demand, and they know they've reduced capacity. They're not just charging the airfares. They're charging peak surcharges for over 60 days between now and the end of the year if you want to fly on certain days that are not even holidays.
And with the fees, of course, which is the only thing that's probably keeping them in business, we have to, you know, consider those as well.
It's funny because, you know, they have weird rules that if you want to change a ticket, it's $150 plus a difference in airfare, which usually wipes out the cost of your original airfare anyway. And yet, here's the funny part. If you want to stand by for the flight, you can do it for free if it's a return flight. Or if you want a confirmed seat on the flight, you can buy it for $50 as a confirmed standby. So there are ways to beat these guys at the system, but almost everything is going to involve some form of a fee, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, my friend Wilbur Flywright, who is the CEO of this imaginary airline, Broken Wings, that I interviewed in this article, would say, you know, why do you hold us to a higher standard? If you buy tickets to a Yankees game, you know, if you don't use them on the date, you can't say, well, I want to go to it on another date. It's not you buy it.
Ah, but wait a second. But you know what, Mr. Flywright, I got one for you. If I have tickets to the Yankee game and I can't use the tickets, I can give them away to somebody else and they can go sit in my seat.
That is true, but Mr. Flywright's going to say, well, this is the TSA, and, you know, they don't want somebody showing up at the last minute with their ticket.
Have you been to a Yankee game lately? They're all terrorists in there. I mean, look, the bottom line is, you know, if I buy a six-pack of Coke and I choose to only drink three of the Coca-Colas, the Coca-Cola police doesn't come and throw me in Coca-Cola prison. And the same logic has to apply if you buy a ticket to a movie. You have the right to walk out halfway during the show. You can't walk off the plane at 35,000 feet. However, if I can't use my ticket, whether it's on a cruise ship, it's not just particular to the airlines, on a cruise ship or an airline or even the bulk bus, I should have the right. I own that ticket. I own that seat for the duration of that flight to be able to give it to you or sell it to you as long as I'm not making an outrageous profit because that gets under, you know, the terms of scalping, and we go with God. But the airlines don't want to do that because they love it when I can't use that ticket because they can sell it to somebody else and double their pleasure.
But still they're losing money. So is the answer, Mr. Flywright would probably say the answer is to raise fares, but then when we raise fares, you don't fly. So what do you want us to do?
Ah, here's how you do it. If you've decreased capacity to begin with, go ahead and raise fares, but just don't continue to kill me with fees. Raise fares to a reasonable level and don't nickel and dime me. Don't hose me, Mr. Flywright. Oh, I love talking to you like this, George. Don't hose me, Mr. Flywright, because I'm not going to come back to you anymore or I'm going to tell people how bad it was. Now, by the same token, let's be fair about this. We don't want to deny any airline the opportunity to make a profit considering that they lost $50 billion in the last 10 years. At the same time, we should also be honest about why we fly. Do you know why we fly, George? We fly to go from point A to point B and not die.
As safely as possible.
We're not there for the food, for the rich Corinthian leather, for the show tunes. We're there just to go from A to B. And that, to me, is a successful flight. I don't even care if my knees are up against my neck. As long as I don't die, I've arrived.
But I really think, Peter, that the airlines would provide a better product if they charged more and if we were willing to pay more. I think we have just been conditioned to pay, you know, next to nothing. And I think that's changing. I mean, judging from the fares, I want to go from New York to Los Angeles on December 23rd. I can't find a one-way ticket less than $400. I mean, it's much higher than it was last year or the year before. And, you know, maybe this is the new normal, that it's going to cost a lot more money.
Well, then you know what the airlines are saying to you? They're saying, ho, 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 Hovica.
Right. And unfortunately, I have to take this trip. You know, most travel is really discretionary. I think unless you're relocating or going to college or going to a funeral, or if you're a grandmother and your daughter is having her first child, you know, most people don't have to travel. I have to travel because it's a family thing. So, but most travel is discretionary, and you know, the airlines can only increase fares so much before people are going to say screw you or ho ho ho.
Well, just remember, my favorite motto for an airline, you got a mythical CEO, I have a mythical airline that I'd like to start, and I have a great advertising motto for the airline. Are you ready?
I'm all ears.
All yours? Okay. Sit down, shut up, we're going. I mean, you get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
the problem
by the
is
way,
you have Spirit Airlines that just says sit down and shut up, huh?
Can you believe this? I just drove to Detroit from New York. This is, yeah, to avoid.
Okay, No, you did that because you're in the witness relocation program.
Well, you know, the fares were very high. Now that you know, Delta has this, a monopoly.
I know. George Hovica, you can find more out at airfarewatchdog.com. These guys are doing their job 250,000 times a day. Some of it's actually good news. We'll be back with more from the Wailea Beach Marriott right after these messages.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resorts, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And, of course, if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. You know, I've been coming to Hawaii, since I said earlier, since I was 20, and I've basically reached my limit of puka shells. I really can't go out and get another souvenir. I don't want a leg greeting. I don't want a free welcome cocktail. I don't want to learn the hula. And yet, unfortunately, for most visitors to Hawaii, that's their total concept of Hawaiian culture. And it is so much more than that. And the more you get a chance to, as they say, talk story, the more you get a chance to learn about the history, the more you can understand really why it's here and what you can experience here other than the things I just mentioned. And joining me right now, someone who knows a little bit about Hawaiian culture. His name is Richard DeLeon. He's the owner of Hawaiian Eyes. But what's really cool about it is you didn't disagree with me once, because I didn't give you a chance to speak yet either.
No.
So tell me, I mean, am I right? I mean, I know I'm right about this. And most people think that the free leg greeting and the complimentary welcome cocktail, that's Hawaii. And with all due respect to chocolate-covered macadamia nuts, I got it.
Yes, that's it.
So how are we doing something different? How do you, when people come here to Maui, how do you open their eyes, so to speak, to what's really here?
Well, what I do on my tours is something that's much more unique, more cultural, more enlightenment, and got to do with native plants. So it's not just talking story or history. It's taking them into the forest and actually give them protocol, how it was done back in the 16th century when we entered the forest. Because for we as parents, we always tell our children to ask for permission. Well, Mother Nature is our parent. So we ask permission, and my guests get to experience such a thing in the open forest.
And when you talk about the open forest, let's dispel another myth. How many pineapples are grown in Hawaii these days? Not many, right?
They're all in the Philippines.
They're all in the Philippines. So when you get to the airport, you know, you get to bring pineapples back. I mean, you know, it's sort of like Coles to Newcastle at that point, and the other way around. It's not really the authentic experience.
Right.
So if I was going out in the forest with you, what kind of flora would you show me that would essentially blow my mind, that would say, you need to know about this because this explains so much of our culture, so much of our agriculture, so much of how we live our lives?
Well, for one thing, it's our state tree, the kukui nut or the candle nut. Everybody just think it's because it's where the lake comes from. But medicinal value, if you took the leaves from that plant, the noni, which is N-O-N-I, it's an antioxidant, and with sea salt. And you combine all those three combinations into a pulp that was used for bursitis, arthritis, and for gout.
So now, are you a natural healer?
Yes.
Would that be a yes?
Yes.
So do you actually use some of those plants in your daily life?
I do.
For example?
For instance, the olena and the noni, which is turmeric, and the noni. Those two sets of tone, takes care of the pancreas. Yeah.
Wow.
It builds the immune system. So for the last 10 years, I got no flus. And I get thousands of people on my tours from the cruise ship. Comes from all over the world. They're hacking behind me and everything else, but I'm still firm because I think
you have to understand that a cruise ship in many respects is a floating Petri dish. You know that.
Yes.
Because they're always recirculating the air.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And those sneeze guards at the salad bar don't always do the trick.
They don't.
They don't. Have you ever been on a cruise?
Yes.
Did you get sick?
Yes.
Ah, you did.
Well, it's a food that is different, much more rich. Yeah, so everybody has a different diet.
And yet the food in Hawaii, when you think about it, I mean, macadamia nuts, rich, pigs, very fatty, rich, right?
That's why I eat fish.
You don't look like it's, you. Wait a second.
Seven days a week, a pound a day.
Wait a second. How much do you weigh?
I weigh 312 pounds.
That's one big fish you're eating.
But it's not just, it's the bones. It's the cultural history.
I understand. So that's your excuse.
Yes.
Ah. Now, you brought a musical instrument today.
It's called an ohe. It's an ancient nose flute played with the nostrils.
Can I hear it?
Sure.
And that's just coming out of your nose. That's, you're not blowing out of your mouth. That's coming out of your nose.
Coming out of the nostrils, yes.
Wow. So you got to eat a lot of fish to do that.
Well, in ancient times, you don't use the breath because the breath is always the breath of Ha, the breath of life. So the nose is a natural way of breathing, so it's much more controlled naturally.
Cool deal. So you go out in the forest, you blow that.
I blow the nose, and it comes with an ancient chant to enter the forest as well. So,
give me that chant.
Perfect.
I love it. Richard De Leon, about your website, by the way, is Hawaiian-Eyes.com.
Yes.
All right. And that was a good answer, too.
Yes.
Let's go eat some fish. We'll be back with more from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort Spa and Big Fish Resort right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Marriott Wailea Beach Resort Spa and Cooking Emporium. I say that because my next guest is a local Maui boy who knows a little about his little. He knows your way around the chef and around the kitchen, right, Jason?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. You are born and raised in Maui?
Yes, correct. I was born and raised in Happy Valley, which is Wailuku side, which is north of here. So.
Well, you heard me talking to Richard before about, you know, how do you really educate people about the culture? Well, part of the culture has got to be the food,
and
you know, I have to think that we can be more creative and still talk about the history of the food and the whole evolution of, you know, Hawaiian cuisine.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And it's, you know, I remember when I first came to Hawaii, everybody's definition of Hawaiian cuisine was poi.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And mahi-mahi was on the menu every night. It was mahi-mahi and poi.
Yeah.
We've gotten a little away from that, haven't we?
Yeah.
So what would you, so if you wanted to give me a short course here in Hawaiian regional cuisine, what would it be?
Okay. We got... you know, actually, Hawaii regional cuisine, you know, of course, was invented by, you know, Bev Gannon, Mark Ellman.
And we'll talk to Mark a little bit later on the show.
Right.
Bev's one of my good friends who's got the Haile'i Miley General Store here in Maui.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But it really was. It was a blend, if you will, of all the different cultures that started in Polynesia and worked their way into Hawaii.
Right. That's one thing special about Hawaii. You know, it's more or less a melting pot of all kind of cultures. You know, my wife is Puerto Rican. You know, I'm Filipino. So, you know, we share all these different cultures that we have.
But at least nobody's making fun of you because one of the Portuguese. every culture has the guys they make fun of, right?
Right.
You know, the Australians make fun of the New Zealanders.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone makes fun of the Belgians. The Belgians make fun of the Poles.
Right.
And in Hawaii, they make fun of the Portuguese. But you never make fun of the Samoans because they will beat the you-know-what out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Exactly, exactly.
But you see, but part of the food culture here is got to be also things like shave ice,
right?
Over Matsumoto's, of course, right?
Right, right.
And you also want to get and explain plate lunch to me.
Okay, plate lunch it's a local term. What it is, it comes, you know, basically on a styrofoam plate. You got your starch, which is over here, the white rice. Always got to have the macaroni salad, and then you have your local entree. You know, whether it be breaded teriyaki or shoyu chicken. Or what have you. You know, you just got to explore, you know, be different. You know, I can imagine somebody from Kansas all of a sudden coming over here and it's like, you know, what the heck is a plate lunch?
So. Yeah, but you know what? The last thing I want to do when I come to Hawaii is have a steak.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Look around you. I mean, the sea is bountiful.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right? You know, I don't understand, you know, people, they come over here and they want something like a salmon where they can get all over on the mainland. Over here, we got all kind of fish, you know, ahi. You know, you got mahi-mahi, you got onaga, opaka, you know, the snapper kind of fish.
Yeah, but so. For those people listening who've never been to Hawaii, you want to have an experience, anywhere you go, they will have this, and if they don't have it on the menu, they'll make it for you. Just ask for a poke.
Right.
You got to ask for like a tuna or an ahi poke,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they do it with oh, it's got the wasabi, it's mm-hmm. got the onions, it's mm-hmm. it's got a kick to it, and
right.
it's great.
Right.
Right?
Right.
What's the most unusual dish on your menu?
The most unusual dish is actually, yeah, poke because...
Oh, come on.
No, serious. I got people that come over, they just stare at it, and then, like, I try to educate them, you know, on that. You know, like, they see raw fish, and then they get squirmy about it, then they send it back. You know, kind of like the seared ahi you have, you know,
yeah.
over here for lunch. You know, they look at it and they squirm. It's like, ew, it's raw. It's raw. You know what? It's part of our culture. You know, it was always.
Well, don't you have every evening you have the poke hour here? People just go and stare at it? No?
They'll stare at it and then they say, oh, could I have it cooked all the way?
No.
Which is like, oh, man,
you just ruined
a nice piece of fish.
But when they do look at it and they mm-hmm. finally eat it, then they're mm-hmm. happy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, that poi is another one that we...
And you can keep
yeah.
your poi.
Yeah.
I'm not going for the poi.
Oh, why not?
Sir, I'm not a poi guy. I don't even want a poi boy.
Actually, you got to develop a taste for that, actually.
No kidding. Know. I just yeah. said, it ain't happening. But the pokey, any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Jason. Now, you got the most unusual dish. What's the easiest dish you make?
The easiest dish to me, actually, it's right there in the back. Your sound man over here, he had two of them.
Oh, but who's counting?
Oh, yeah. Well, I do. It's like, whoa. You know, this
what was
guy.
It?
It's a bread pudding made with surfing dairy goat cheese.
Ooh.
And roasted,
yeah.
roasted Maui gold pineapple.
Wow.
It's a bread pudding.
All right. Jason Carpio, who's a Maui boy by way of the Philippines. His wife is Puerto Rican. So what can we say more Hawaiian than that? Go have a poke, okay?
Okay.
All right, man. When we come back, more from the Marriott Wailea Beach Resort Spa and Poke Emporium.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 52 minutes after the hour. My next guest is probably a little bit jealous of where I am, but I'm usually a little bit jealous of where she is because she's usually in the kitchen doing really cool things. She's the author of You Can Trust a Skinny Cook. We'll discuss that in a second. And she's also contributing editor for Cooking Light magazine, Allison Fishman. Hello, Allison.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm in Maui and you're not, huh?
Oh, you're killing me.
But, you know, you're the creator of the Wooden Spoon. It's a sort of a cooking school where, you know, you step out of the restaurant kitchens and go right into people's kitchens to really, you know, do up close and personal instruction on what you really know, how to become more of a confident cook. But the thing I really want to talk to you about today is when, you know, Mark Twain once said, you know, you can tell a lot about somebody when you travel with them. And you can tell a lot more about somebody when you're traveling alone and have to make do, especially as a single woman. And you do that a lot. So, you know, first of all, it's not just about traveling alone. It's eating alone. You know, I mean, if I just in the old days when I weighed 68 pounds more than I do now, I was eating alone a lot. And I was eating a lot alone, if you know what I mean, a lot. So how do you fend that off? I mean, how do you really control it?
OK, first of all, so eating alone to me is one of the best adventures. Even sometimes here when I'm at home in New York, I'll go out, sit at the bar and just eat alone. It's fun, if you speak to people, that's always fun and can be illuminating. And it's also really fun to just take a second, look at your food and observe. So in terms of, you know, eating alone and not overdoing it, if you're confident in being there and you're sort of taking every bite slowly, it can be really nice. You end up eating less because you're not in such a rush. You're actually noticing what you're eating instead of talking and swallowing it without thinking.
Well, we're such a fast food nation. It would still be, even when I ate alone, I used to eat so much faster. And then slowly but surely, every pun intended, I started eating more slowly because I had nowhere to go.
Peter, I'll tell you what. If you want me to fly down to Maui right now and give you a quick lesson, I would be very, it would be my pleasure. I would be very happy to do that. But it's really, it can be an indulgence, especially when you're a business traveler. I travel a lot during the summers and do appearances. And that meal alone where it was me and some food, food specific to the region, food that I was lucky to be here to enjoy, I could really take a moment with it and get into it.
Okay. But, I mean, is there a particular location better than others for people eating alone? I bet you have one.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. As a woman eating alone, I'll tell you, I love going to steakhouses. I spent one summer. Yeah, I love it. I love it. You can take me to, you know, in a town where I can't find the inside scoop, you can always go to a Morton's, a Ruth's Chris. And then, of course, towns have their local steakhouses, their local favorites. Every town in America has got a steakhouse, a chop house.
Okay, but wait, you got to walk me through this. So you go in there by yourself and say, I'd like the ribeye, and I'll be here for 4 hours?
How did you know what I ordered? How did you know my dish?
In the days that I used to eat steak, that's all I ate was the ribeye because it was the most flavorful steak.
It certainly is. But I by the way, I never feel compelled to finish it. I can always take it for home and enjoy it, you know, take it back to the hotel and enjoy it the next morning for breakfast. But if you sit there, you order a nice glass of wine, you order a steak, I'd go for two courses. I'd have a salad, maybe I'd have some cream spinach with it. You're weird. You're an oddity. People want to know your story. Waiters will stop to talk to you and give you little insights because you're obviously, you know, not from here. They'll give you little insights about the town. If you're sitting at the bartender will talk to you. You're a strange one, you, a woman alone at a steakhouse, and people want to know the story.
So, see, here's what you should do now. I've just given you your next book. I want you to start working on this book called Allison Fishman's Steakhouse Diaries. No?
Give me at the steakhouse, huh?
Why not? Come on.
No, people I'll I've met I'll give you
while...
an example.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and a waiter came up to me. I was doing an appearance on a morning show the next morning, and he goes, oh, you're on that show. Let me tell you the scoop. I found out about an affair between the weather girl and the sportsman. I got the local inside scoop that I would never have had if I was back in my hotel room.
And what's the name of the steakhouse? I'm going there. I don't even eat meat. Wow. I love it.
People just talk to you. It's fun. It's fun to be the you know, the person just passing through.
All right, so other than steakhouses, if you don't eat meat, where can you go?
Well, you definitely want to figure out if there's an immigrant population close by. I was actually up in the Hudson Valley this weekend, and I wanted to do the walk on the bridge across the Hudson. It was the largest span across the Hudson. It's a mile and a quarter long. So I went to, like, you know, there's an old restaurant that was built under the bridge. The bridge was built, you know, turn of the century. So there was an old restaurant that was there that's always been at the foot of the bridge. They have pictures of the bridge being built, the whole spiel. The waitress was Polish. It was a diner. You know, it was basically mozzarella sticks and stuff like that. But they had some Polish specialties on that menu. The waitress was Polish. As soon as you key in to what's unique about a place, you order that.
Cool. So how was the kielbasa?
The kielbasa was off the hook. They brought me a mustard that was, what's the bridge in Brooklyn?
You know, we're going to have to hold that thought and that kielbasa. Allison Fishman, the author of You Can Trust a Skinny Cook, even if she just came out of a Polish restaurant carrying kielbasa to go. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. For those stations, stick around. We got a whole lot more coming from the Marriott Wailea Beach Resort Spa and Kielbasa Museum. Back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We've been living on airplanes, of course. Last week coming to you from the island of Fire Island in New York, and then heading a little bit west, actually a lot west, and most people never get this answer. I'm going to tell you what it is. Can you name the westernmost state in the United States? No, it's not Hawaii. It's Alaska. Can you name the northernmost state in the United States? It's Alaska. Can you name the southernmost state in the United States? We're it. That's where we're coming from today. 20 degrees, 48 minutes north, 156 degrees, 20 minutes west. We are in Maui in Hawaii at the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa. And now for the one that nobody ever gets right, the easternmost state in the United States. It's also Alaska. It goes so far west across the international date line. It is three out of the four answers. Now you can amaze all of your friends. So I just threw that out there because we're in Maui, which is 48 miles long and 26 miles wide. But who's counting? Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right on the air. And we're happy to tell you that we are now streaming the show live every week. Just go to our website, petergreenberg.com, and you can always listen in wherever you happen to be anywhere in the world. In fact, if you do go to our website, you'll know that you can sign up for our free newsletter. It's out every day. We update it every 12 hours because we believe strongly, as I always have believed, that travel is news. It's not about selling you anything. It's about presenting you with information so you can make intelligent, reasonably decent choices about your travel. And we need as much intelligence when it comes to travel these days as we have ever needed. So I just throw that out there. We got an email from Robert in Kentucky. He goes, lately I've seen some real bargain airfares to several locations in Colombia, South America. Is it safe traveling in this area for the bargain-hunting travelers? And the answer is, yes, it is. In fact, I'll be going down to Cartagena, Colombia, in a couple of weeks. And the round-trip airfare that we see on those routes from Miami, you could score for about $240. That's not bad. It's cheaper to go from Miami to Cartagena than it is to go from Miami to Jacksonville. Think about that. That's ridiculous. The days of the Medellin cartel are basically over. Colombia has really turned things around. It's a terrific location, and I highly recommend it. So Robert, if you're thinking of going, it's not just the airfare, it's the common sense that prevails, and my advice to you is go. We've got an email from Meg in Oregon. She wants to know, I read your article about when to buy a ticket. From your article, it looks like there is a very small window of time. What's the best time to buy your ticket on Wednesday, 1 hour after Tuesday midnight, which, of course, is 12:01 a.m. Wednesday morning? Yes, there is a small window of time. It's about a two-hour window of time in that post-midnight area that is only going to go for about 2 hours until the airline basically catches up on everything. And the reason why it's 1 minute after midnight on Tuesday night, and by the way, that time is basically where the airline itself is based. So if it's Delta, it's on the East Coast time. If it's American, or if it's Continental, it's Central time, or United is Central time as well. So always go by that. But the reason why that's an interesting time window is because what the airlines don't want to tell you is, believe it or not, there's still airfare sales out there that they kind of slip out there to try to raise incremental revenue when they have a few extra seats. It's not usually an industry-wide fare sale, but they'll throw it out there usually on the weekends. That's the last time, the worst time you should ever want to buy a ticket, because it's a very fluid situation as people are cutting the fares and matching and cutting and matching. The last amount of cutting and matching happens very, very late Sunday night, early Monday morning, and as you know, when you go to buy a fare, they give you, what, 24 hours in which to purchase it. So all those people who bought those discounted fares on Monday but then didn't purchase it by Tuesday at midnight, guess what happens? All those fares come flooding back into the airline's computer system between midnight and 2, and that's when you strike. Now, this does not mean, listen to me very carefully, Meg, this does not mean you go on the website between midnight and 2. The biggest myth about airline websites, by the way, it also applies to hotel websites and cruise line websites and rental car websites, is that all the available inventory is on the web. It's not. It's the inventory that the travel provider chooses to make available on the web. So here's a concept. I talk about it every week. Two words. I want you to embrace it. Human being. I know it's tough for you texters out there, but this is an opportunity for you to actually pick up the phone and talk to one as frightening a thought as that might be, between midnight and 2, and then negotiate the best deal you can with them, actually have them hold it for 24 hours, and then go on the web and see if you can beat it. But if you do it the other way around, because it's expedient, and you can do it in the safety of your own home, and you don't have to have any interaction with anybody, and you do it in your bathrobe at 3 in the morning, you will pay the price, because once you hit those keystrokes and you get that fare, and you find out it could be lower the next day, guess who you get to call? Ghostbusters. Because there's nobody there who's going to help you. So, again, between midnight and 2 on early Wednesday morning, 12:01 a.m. Wednesday, based on where the airline that you're calling is based, and you're going to actually let your fingers do the walking and call them. Now, it's a completely different protocol for hotels. I told you to call the 800 number for the airlines. Don't you ever call the 800 number for hotels. That's the biggest lie ever perpetrated, because they want you to think that you can't get a better rate than you can get on their website. Guess what? Lie. And you can't get a better rate than you can get on their 800 number. Lie. That 800 number goes to a clearinghouse, and the clearinghouse has no flexibility whatsoever in negotiating a deal with you at all. And if you call the hotel directly, which I want you to do, but you just ask for reservations, guess what happens to you? They reroute your call right back to that 800 number, and you're back to where you started from again. That doesn't help. And the website is only going to have what the inventory is that the hotel wants to make available at a certain rate. However, if you do the frightening thing again and actually call the hotel and ask to speak to the manager on duty or the director of sales, and they're the two people in the hotel who are the best arbiters of their inventory. They know if the Johnson wedding just canceled and there are 60 available rooms, that's not going to be on the website. That's not going to be on the clearinghouse. That's going to be in their head, and they know what a perishable item they have. And guess what? An unsold hotel room is revenue that can never be recouped the next morning when the sun rises. You're in the driver's seat. Negotiate the rate. And guess what else happens? You better write your thank you letters, because if you want to come back to that hotel, you just made a friend. They just made one with you because you've established a relationship. And when you come back, even when you come for the first time, see if they're there, introduce yourself, because guess what happens then? You might actually get an upgrade without ever asking for it, because you were nice. What a concept. I'm telling you, the internet is a resource tool. I use it for research all the time. I sometimes even book on it, but only after I've exhausted all human contact. I hate kiosks at airports. If I had a hammer, I'd break every one of them, because it exhausts all human contact in the beginning of it. If you're only going to go between New York and Chicago at 8 o'clock in the morning on American Airlines for the rest of your life, go ahead and use the kiosk. If you have any kind of a creative itinerary or any kind of changes needed, the kiosk is not your friend. The internet is not your friend. It doesn't think creatively. And that's what we do on the show. We try to think creatively. Now, there are a lot of general managers and hotel sales people who are going to hate me for saying this, but you know what? I just gave them business they didn't get otherwise. Ha, 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 ha. When we come back, more of your calls, more of your emails, and we'll be checking in with Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times on what your costs are really going to be when you travel. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour on this beautiful weekend, wherever you happen to be, guess where we are? At the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it here on the air. And I'm going to refer you to our website again for a very important reason. That's petergreenberg.com, because we have a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that essential, necessary work in rebuilding Haiti and Western China and Chile and, of course, the Gulf. This is an opportunity for you not just to text $10 on your cell phone to the Red Cross, which, by the way, is an excellent idea, and they need all the money they can get, but to be physically, actively, and personally involved. It's what you bring to the party when you travel. And the best gift you can give is when you give it back. And I'm a big fan of volunteer vacations. And I'm telling you, you're going to see a list of organizations there that will blow your mind, actually, when you think of all the different things that are needed down there It's not just rebuilding homes. It's even the ASPCA working with displaced animals. And it's educational opportunities. It's language. It's if you're a plumber, they need you. Trust me. And this is an opportunity to really give back. I will heartily support that every chance I get. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm on the board of a group called Airline Ambassadors. We have three teams on the ground now in Haiti as well. And we're actually rebuilding schools down there. So bottom line is, go to the website and see how you can get involved. It'll be the best gift you give yourself. Also, just so you know, we're streaming live every week on this show. Just go to our website, same website, and you can listen to the show from wherever you happen to be in the world. And you can also sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It's also daily as well. You choose which one you want, but we update it every 12 hours because travel is news. And you can also sign up to become an insider, which you'll have access to all the radio archives, all the exclusive videos, and a lot more from yours truly. We got an email here from Ann in Marshalltown, Iowa. She writes, "My son and family were flying home trying to go from Philadelphia to Cedar Rapids, Iowa on Delta. Delta canceled their flight to Cedar Rapids, stating weather is the reason, but the weather was fine. My son called Delta and an agent found three seats on a plane to Des Moines. They've been given a voucher of $60 for a room for tonight. My questions to you are, since weather is not an issue in Cedar Rapids, do they have any recourse? Should they save all the receipts for food and lodging, etc.?" Well, the fact that they gave you a voucher to begin with means they realized that weather wasn't the issue. That you caught them. And guess what? They got you to another destination. However, if you incurred more than $60 in expenses in Philadelphia, over and above the hotel, like dinner, or your clothing went to Cedar Rapids and you didn't, now you have another issue you can do, and you should write me to Peter at PeterGreenberg.com, keep a paper trail, and we will try to help you. But you see, here's the issue with weather these days, and the airlines play really nasty games about it. If it's raining in Tegucigalpa, they'll come up with an excuse why your flight from LA to San Diego is not on time, because they'll claim the plane originates in Tegucigalpa. So you need to call them on their stuff. You need to get down to a reasonably decent definition of terms to find out what weather is where. I'll tell you a story that happened to me a couple of years ago. I was at Chicago, and I was looking at I was going from Chicago to New York to LaGuardia on United, and four flights. I was going from Chicago to Boston on United, and they had four flights scheduled that afternoon. After all, Chicago's a big hub for United. Every flight was called canceled for weather. So I went, wow, well, American flies from Chicago to Boston. I went over to see the American flights. Every one of their flights is on time. So I said, well, either American has the most death-defying airline jockeys or someone's lying. Guess what? Someone was lying. And I went back to the United Airlines guys and said, you can't pull weather here. You can't pull the weather card. I'm invoking Rule 240. And guess what? Everybody got to Boston on United that day. They couldn't hide behind the fact they just didn't want to fly planes that weren't totally full. That's not the case anymore, of course. Every plane's full now. But remember, if they cite weather, go see a weatherman. Then call me. All right. Now, my next guest is probably laughing about that because we got other issues to talk about today as well. Reporter for the Los Angeles Times and a regular on our show, Jane Engel. Hey, Jane.
Hi, Peter. Actually, I'm not laughing about that at all. I think it can be such a hassle to fly, and it can be such a hassle to find out what's going on.
Exactly. Well, you know, the biggest problem that so many people have is even if they're getting to where they're going, whatever they budgeted for their trip is completely unrealistic. It just doesn't count. And we're not just talking about all the extra add-on fees the airlines throw on. I'm just talking about the basic cost of goods and services, where you're going. You know, I used to do a survey where I wanted to find out what the cost of a Big Mac was anywhere in the world. And wherever I found the cheapest Big Mac, chances are I'd find the cheapest cost of living, and that's where I'd go. And you know where it was? Caracas,
no,
Venezuela. Caracas, Venezuela had the cheapest Big Macs for about 5 years. Now, of course, Venezuela is a big OPEC country. I'm sure those Big Macs have gone sky high. But, I mean, how do you estimate your cost in a realistic way, Jane?
Well, you know, actually it becomes a tough thing to do because everybody travels a little bit differently. Some people prefer to go cheaper. Some people wouldn't stay in a hotel that didn't have top services, so it becomes hard. But if you want a kind of mid-range look at how much it might cost you to visit different destinations at different times of the year, consult the U.S. General Services Administration, your tax dollars at work, because each year they set per diem rates for federal employees, which is basically the maximum that they will let a federal employee pay and charge to stay for lodging and meals and incidentals in various towns. And they do a survey each year to find out what these rates are. And they really aim for the middle cost.
But I have to ask the devil's advocate question. What makes you think that they're realistic?
Well, they use a couple of sources. One vendor that they work with is Smith Travel Research, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. And that's sort of the standard consultancy that does review average hotel rates in each town. And then what I love is that the General Services Administration has another vendor that just calls restaurants in the local area and asks them how much they charge for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is so low-tech, but there you are.
Well, we're back to what a tube of toothpaste costs or what a Big Mac costs, and you can figure it out from there. Now, how do you, Jane, actually get to the GSA site to find out what they're going to go for each particular location?
Yeah, well, you know, you can go to gsa.gov, and, of course, it, being the government, there's a certain amount of gobbledygook afterwards, but it's not too bad. It's gsa.gov/, then the word portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, then /category, and then /, here's your number, there's always a number, 21287. And you can find the per diems listed for different seasons in nearly 400 destinations in the United States.
Well, when you looked at that, Jane, did anything just kind of jump out at you saying, wow, now that's an expensive place?
Well, you know, it did because, you know, I mean, at first I took a look at the list and I said, well, you know, I see New York at the top, not too much of a shock. But then I saw that New York was at the top for only certain parts of the year, and that during certain times of the year, Vail, Colorado, was going to cost you more to visit than it would cost to go to New York. D.C. was going to be more expensive. Boston, Cambridge, all kinds of places actually were more expensive than New York, depending on when you visited New York.
Well, one of the things that I saw in your brief on this, which that was the one that jumped out at me, was that an overnight trip to Yosemite would cost you more than a night in San Francisco.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. And, of course, it depends on the type of year, but when we talk about the peak rate in Yosemite National Park, we're talking about the summertime. And the thing about the summertime in San Francisco is it is not the peak time in San Francisco, actually, for cost, because San Francisco weather is a lot better in the fall, picks up as a business destination. So it all depends on when you go. But as you might imagine, Yosemite National Park packs them in during a very limited amount of time, and the hotel rates go sky high.
Now, we're in Wailea and the island of Maui at the Marriott. What does the GSA have to say about Hawaii?
Well, you know, I actually, that is one of the very few destinations that they do not actually survey. It being the government, certain destinations, not very many U.S. destinations, but Alaska, Hawaii, are farmed out to a different branch of government. I believe that one is farmed out to the military because we have so many military installations in Hawaii.
Wow. God forbid anybody from the government should be allowed to come to Hawaii unless they're on a ship. Amazing.
Actually, I was pretty impressed with the way they did things because they do toss out the Motel 6s on one end. They do strip out the Ritz-Carltons and things on the other end. So they do kind of try to aim for the mid-range, it seems like, so that federal employees have a reasonable amount of comfort without completely soaking the taxpayers.
All right. Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times. We'll get that website on our website so you can check out to see what the government thinks you're worth when you travel. Jane Engel, thanks again for joining us. And when we come back, we're taking a little trip around the grounds in Maui, stuff that only the locals know.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa here in Maui. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. This is a part of our show we always like to do called Ask the Locals. And, you know, when you're at a resort, is it just the beach? No, it's not. Is it just the view? No, it's not. It's the grounds. We're talking acres. And we're talking acres of grounds that have to be meticulously maintained. But also, it's a history here. Every plant tells a story. Every pathway tells a story. In fact, in the building of some resorts in Hawaii, not just on this island but other islands, you couldn't build there because it was over sacred burial grounds. Or it had such a history that people said, no, don't touch it. So once you erect a resort, you better just pay homage to the gods and take good care of it. And joining me right now is Sean Ardoin, who's the groundskeeper here at Marriott. But most importantly, you're a true horticulturalist, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Peter.
I like the word horticulturalist. Okay, I'm gonna put you on the spot. How many different species of plants on this at this resort?
Literally hundreds.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, I didn't want a ballpark figure. I wanted you to give me an exact number.
That's where we're at, hundreds.
Okay, hundreds.
Yeah, we have a beautiful array of plants here that go on to a great scale. Yep.
But most of the guests here, they see a palm tree and they go, okay, Hawaii, palm tree, see you later. They don't really get down and dirty like you do.
Well, you'd be surprised. You know, when I walk around almost every week, I find guests, you know, really intimate with a plant or a flower.
That's called guests stealing the plants.
They're admiring it, and I offer it to them. You know, the flower is theirs to take, and that's what it's about. So, you know, they even ask, is it real? Is this a real plant? Is this a real flower? And maybe it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and they've never seen this before. So it's something that we try not to take for granted.
Am I detecting a Canadian accent?
Not at all. Louisiana.
Because I heard about. I heard about.
I am from Ville Platte, Louisiana, which you may know, Cajun country.
I certainly do.
Yes.
What got you here?
Actually, the plants. I studied horticulture at university, and, you know, in very southern parts of Louisiana, we can get away with a few things.
You get away with a lot in Louisiana. What are you talking about?
But as far as the temperature and plants, what we can grow, depending on the year, but I really started to always kind of go towards the tropical horticulture, and I wanted to be immersed in that 100%.
Is there a plant that can never grow here, that you just can't keep alive here?
You know, depending on the different parts of the island, not really, because we have so many different microenvironments on the island, dry, wet, lowlands, mountains.
I mean, I know when I do the crater ride here, and I always do it, you know, early in the morning, you're going through four different weather systems just to get down.
That's right.
So you see everything.
But the beauty of Hawaii and Maui is that we're summer, spring, year-round, so it never stops.
What's the most unusual plant you have here on the property?
I'd say the most unusual
the
plant.
The man-eating. No.
The one of the most interesting ones is the what they call it in the south is the corkscrew pine. It's a pandanus, or we call it a holla tree here. And in the olden days, they used the leaves for thatching and for weaving, a very important plant. And you'll see it when you walk around the property. It has very long, slender leaves with sharp edges. And the fruits are very similar to a pineapple.
What's endangered?
On the property here, you know, we're trying to bring in a few of the plants that work in the lowlands, but right now we're working with a plant called Pohinahina. It's not so much endangered, but it's not really grown in this area very much.
In the time we've got left, my mother's favorite flower was the gardenia.
Yes.
You got something pretty close to it,
yes,
right here.
And then I wanted to bring you this because what we're doing in the landscape is try to impart, you know, all the senses.
Wow.
We want to touch all the senses. And that's a plumeria. So we have a plumeria here and a Tahitian gardenia. And this is, like you mentioned earlier, what we're doing in the landscape. We're enhancing the guest experience, and they may not even know it until they arrive.
You smell this flower, you don't need anything else.
That's right. And the smell of this is really what it's all about.
Amazing.
You're smelling the island.
Now, in a typical lay, if there's such a thing, what's called flower to put in a lei?
Usually the smallest flowers, the very, very tiniest ones to thread are the toughest.
Can you thread a lei?
I have never made a lei, I have to be honest with you. And then I also brought a sample of a kukui nut tree, which is, as far as leis go, this nut was reserved for royalty in the olden days. And it was a nut that was brown or black and very beautiful, and you do see they're very common.
Yes.
But this tree, the kukui nut, is a state tree of Hawaii. It's also known as the candlestick tree.
And if I come to the resort, will you give me a tour? Can we just
Absolutely.
Walk around?
Absolutely.
You show me everything?
Everything.
You let me steal a couple of these?
They're all yours.
I'm just going to smell them all day long. Well, thanks again, Sean. I appreciate that. That's Sean Ardoin, who's the horticulturalist here, and a man who cannot weave a lei, but he does so much more. Come see him when you come out here. I'll give you a tour. When we come back, a lot more of your emails and calls, plus my old pal Lisa Birnbach. You may remember her from the author of The Preppy Handbook. Well, guess what? She's back. More from the Marriott Resort here in Wailea right after these messages.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and this is my time on the show to feel a little old because it was 30 years ago that the official Preppy Handbook came out. That was 30 years ago, and it was sort of like the field guide to the habits of the cotillion-hopping loafer-shod upper crust, otherwise known as NOKD, right? You know, not our kind, dear. But, well, guess what? The author, Lisa Birnbach, she's back. New book is called True Prep. It's a whole new old world. And, of course, when it comes to travel, nothing beats really good preppiness, I say. Right, Lisa?
That's exactly right. Ahoy there, Peter. And if you feel old, what do I feel?
I know. This is tough
for
duty here.
For a 42-year-old, it's very hard to explain how I wrote a book 30 years ago.
Okay. Your secret's no longer safe with me.
That's right.
But bottom line is, what has changed in 30 years in terms of how the preppies travel?
Oh, my gosh, where do I begin? It's not that the destinations have changed, although they have expanded somewhat beyond the basic Europe and Caribbean, because preppies do a kind of one-upsmanship, some do, about how far they go. You know, it's not enough to go to, you know, to go to, let's say, the Caribbean on Christmas vacation when you have 2 weeks off. You have to go to a snowy place and a warm place because the kids could get bored, you know.
Well, you know,
they only get to go to Aspen, so they can go to Aspen and St. Bart's.
I have an admission to make that on my flight yesterday from Dallas to Maui,
yeah,
I think I was the only person on the plane not a honeymoon couple.
Aww.
I know. And,
do you have a
and,
sound effect there that we can all say, aw, Peter?
No, but you could. No, it's okay. But here's the thing. I divided the plane into two parts because there were the young honeymoon couples who were like 21.
Right.
And, you know, and had that stupid smile on their face.
Yeah.
And then there were the second wives clubs honeymoon where, you know, and the dress was completely different. It was sort of like, back up the truck, we're going shopping, you know.
That's sweet. Well, I must say, one of the things that has changed is destination weddings. Those didn't exist 30 years ago, and that's kind of a preppy thing to do because, and I'm only saying this because you're in Hawaii, rub it in, although I'm in San Francisco, which is perfectly fine at the moment.
Oh, yeah. I'm not feeling sorry for you at all.
Okay, but here's the deal. The destination wedding is a combo prep school reunion and wedding. I mean, it is
it
a very
is.
Prep
right.
concept if you think about it. you get to see all the old guys from the fraternity house. Oh, hi. Hi, Tigger. Hi, Parker. Hi, Fielding. You know, and
you forgot Muffy.
And also get married, which is something that society may be expecting of you or your soon-to-be born illegitimate child. So either way, it's a good thing to do it.
Is there such a thing as a preppy destination gone totally wrong?
No. I mean, I will say that a place like Palm Beach, Florida, which used to be very preppy, you know, has now been Madoffed. So I can't say that it is the exclusive bastion of the to the manor born, although there's still plenty of that if you want it in Palm Beach, Florida. But places like Bermuda, exactly. Places like Harbor Island, places like Todi, Italy, and we have a list in True Prep of the 41, 42 preppiest places to have a summer house. And some of them, you know, they're European preppies too.
But we used to call those nouveau riche.
No, we called those Europeans. We called those women with no hips. But they could be preppies. They could have, you know, a family business. They could have been educated in England or in the United States. They could be married to somebody who went to Deerfield. For example, Queen Rania is married to a preppy because the King of Jordan is a Deerfield graduate.
Absolutely. He went to Deerfield Academy, and he's a good buddy of mine. We've done some television specials with him, and he just opened a campus of Deerfield Academy in Jordan.
Get out.
He did.
You're a step ahead of me, Peter.
And aren't you loving that? But you know what? You've always been a step ahead of everybody. Yeah, you are kind of. You know what? The name of the book, True Prep. It's a whole new old world. And the author, our good buddy, who's always young in my book, Lisa Birnbach. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Peter.
When we come back, a little local music here on the island, which might just blow you away if you have the call of love. Back with more from the Marriott Beach Resort in Wailea.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is brought to you by
Travel Guard. Visit travelguard.com/unlucky. Tell us what makes you the world's unluckiest traveler, and you could win a $10,000 dream vacation. Brought to you by Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, and coming to you from Wailea in Maui. Peter Greenberg here with you, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. My next guest just has a small little history of music. He's scored more than 100 television programs and films. He's been nominated for 6 Grammys. And then he said, the heck with this. I'm leaving Southern California, and I'm moving to Maui, because after 6 Grammy nominations, you just got to leave town. Right, Peter?
I guess so, yeah.
Peter Cater is his name, and he's now living in Maui for the last, 2.5 years?
2.5 years, yeah.
So you escaped the 405 freeway.
Yeah, I made it off. Yeah, it took me 10 hours to get to the airport, but, yeah, I made the flight, yeah.
What was Maui? Why Maui?
Honestly, I had just finished a film that was extremely challenging musically, and my family and I flew to actually Kauai for a couple of weeks, which turned into a couple of months, and then we just said, oh, we're not going back. And then we started researching where would we want to live full time, and Maui was the place.
Why?
It's got everything. I mean, the beaches are phenomenal. There's so much culture. The restaurants are fantastic. There's just enough to do to keep you interested culturally and mentally.
And you're recording here.
I have a studio at my home, yeah.
So you're one-stop shopping.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? Your new album is called Call of Love. It just was released. Let's run a little bit of it right now. I listen to this, Peter, I have to ask what might be a self-serving question, but for you anyway. Was Maui the inspiration for this song?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I wrote this song, the main theme, for Pierce Brosnan, who's a friend of mine who lives on Kauai. He was doing a new PSA campaign for saving the whales because the moratorium on whale...
is expiring.
Was expiring, yeah. And it needed to be renewed. And there was actually a chance that it was going to be made legal through pressure from other countries. And so we did a massive PSA campaign. I wrote that theme for that campaign and then expanded it for my album.
That's very cool. I love the idea that you can record it all here yourself.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and what I don't have here, I can work with musicians from all over the world via the Internet.
So basically you're an MP3 kind of guy.
I have to be. Either MP3 or die, I guess. I don't know.
But how often do you get off the island?
More than I'd like to. 4 or 5 times a year, 6 times a year.
But if somebody's been here for, 2.5 years now,
yeah.
What's the biggest surprise of Maui to you?
Is that it just keeps getting better.
Now, I'm surprised to hear you say that because everybody's worried about rampant development, about traffic jams on the highways now.
Yeah.
That you got them. You do on certain days.
Yeah, you do have to wait sometimes 20 or 30 seconds to get across the light, yeah.
You impatient guy.
I know, it's terrible.
No, but really, you, in what ways is it getting better?
I think
are we being smarter? Is that what it is?
I think we're tuning in, you know. I think as Richard was saying earlier, there's a lot of energy here. I think the more time that you spend here, the more you drop what you don't need baggage-wise, mentally, emotionally, and you just kind of like lock in to the energy here is so strong.
Okay, what do you not have now that you couldn't live without in Southern California?
What do I not have?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think.
Memory? Would memory be that?
Yeah, memory.
Lucky guess on my part. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm not missing anything.
Really?
Not a thing.
What kind of car you drive?
A Prius.
I knew it.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Prius kind of guy.
Yep.
What can I say?
What were you driving in L.A.?
A SUV.
So that's something you don't have anymore. See?
Yeah, that's true. In my gas bill.
Have you changed your eating habits since you moved to Maui?
You know, honestly, I have a little bit. And I started doing yoga, too, which I was always terrible at yoga. I tried it several times in my life, but I don't care that I'm terrible anymore. I just do it anyway.
And what are you not eating anymore?
Honestly, I don't eat as much meat as I used to. Protein.
Right.
I didn't eat red meat anyway, but I've even dropped the turkey and the chicken and the, you know.
That's me, too. I'm just a fish and veggies guy now.
Yeah.
And macadamia nuts.
Right. And chocolate.
Here, now, see, I knew if I stayed here long enough, we'd come up with the chocolate thing. What, when your friends come here, what's the biggest surprise that they discover?
I haven't invited any friends yet, so I don't know.
You're just in a bunker in there, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're in a bunker with your Prius and your MP3 player.
Yeah, that's right. On the beach. And my paddleboard.
Well, the name of the album is called Call of Love. Peter Cater is the author and the composer. And he's going to get his memory back any time now. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. For those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort Spa and remote recording studio for Peter Cater. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER.
And now the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We're at the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa right here in Maui. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. Bet you didn't know this, but Hawaii has its own time zone. It's called Hawaiian Standard Time. No daylight savings time in Hawaii, which means that in the summer, Hawaii is actually 2 hours behind the U.S. West Coast, while in the winter, we're 3 hours behind. Here's one that I bet you didn't know as well. It's the only state whose land area is actually increasing. Why is that? From volcanic eruptions. Just go over to the Big Island and check that out, because it's flowing in there every day. And here's probably the reason why some of our guests live in Hawaii. I want Peter Cater to listen up here. This is going to apply to you, Peter. It's got the highest life expectancy in the United States. Life expectancy for males is 75 and for females, 80. Because they want to stick around the last 5 years to go shopping when the guy dies. We know that deal. And, of course, one of my favorite islands is where I am right now in Maui. Every time I come here, I hang out with some of the best chefs in the United States, whether it's Mark Elman or Beverly Gannon. Mark's going to join us a little bit later and talk about his new stuff and a couple of things he's been writing lately. But the thing I like about Maui is you don't necessarily have to be in Lahaina. You don't have to necessarily be in the hustle and bustle. You can just be anywhere you want. You pull over and you're at the water somewhere. And Richard DeLeon, who joined us earlier in the show, I brought him back because when it comes to culture, you know, when you think about even the Hawaiian language, you know, so much of culture is lost. So much of culture has disappeared because we're not teaching our kids. It's interesting about what we're not teaching our kids in school these days so that they don't understand history. So many people that I even work with today not only don't have a sense of history, they don't want one. And so they're always looking at you strangely when you say things like, oh, yeah, I remember, and I'm not that old. You know, you just want to be able to tell them what it was like. What was it like for you growing up?
Growing up was a little different because I was raised in Honolulu, Oahu.
In the big city.
On the big city. Yeah. But I'm originally from the Big Island above Waipio Valley, or known as the Valley of the Kings. So growing up was different because culture was disappearing because with all the different cultural things that was happening in this melting pot. And my parents, I come from a generation where they were not allowed to speak Hawaiian.
And yet that's how they learned.
Yes. And when they did speak Hawaiian in the schools, they were locked in the closet for speaking their native tongue. So it was forbidden. But now, in the 70s, it's all coming out. Even our guest that lives here, the now Kama'ainas, they're now speaking Hawaiian because the language is so unique.
Have we gotten to the point where they want to preserve the heritage to the point where it's now being taught back in the schools?
It is. Now it's in the universities, charter schools. So my daughter-in-law was the first graduating class of University of Hawaii for Hawaiian knowledge.
Wow.
And it was just last year.
You know, it's interesting. When I first came to Hawaii, I was 20. The only place where you could find people speaking Hawaiian was on the Forbidden Island, Niihau.
Correct. Because their dialect is different than the now Hawaiians that speak Hawaiian now.
When people visit, and you do these great tours that show about the cultural heritage, the agricultural heritage, is there truly an interest in learning the language? Because it's not an easy language. It is not an easy language.
Well, European is much easier because of the vowels, A, E, E, O, U.
Yeah.
So they can relate to it or Spanish.
Because the Hawaiian alphabet only has 12 letters.
Correct. Yes. But it's so simple because everybody...
It's not simple.
Well, hear it how it's done.
Okay, go ahead.
When you're walking into the home, you tag everything that's in the house in Hawaiian. You know what it is in English. So everything you say, you just call it in its Hawaiian name.
Okay, so if I'm holding a glass...
Slowly you start taking away those tags.
No, slowly you start emptying the house. Come on, we'll rub them off. No, but I mean, I'm holding a glass. What's a glass?
Well, it's not so much the glass, it's what's in it. So, vai, water.
Yeah. And that's it. And you'd know that right then.
Right, you know, vai, to drink. Yes.
And the sky?
We call it lani. Yeah, because sky relates to heaven, so it's more spiritual. It's not just sky in general.
And the sea?
The sea, it's many things. You get kai, nalu, but everything that relates to the ocean. It's one entity.
And individual food items, do they have their own name or not?
They do have their own names. Like poi.
Yeah.
Yes. Ulu, the breadfruit. Yeah. The maya, the bananas.
Right. What's the most difficult word to pronounce in Hawaiian?
Humu humu nuku nuku apua.
I told you not to say that. No, no. What does that mean?
It's a state fish.
Is it truly?
It's a small little trigger fish.
Right.
With such a long name.
Let me hear it again.
Humu humu.
Humu humu.
Nuku nuku.
Nuku nuku.
Apua.
Now, see, if I said that to a woman, she'd tell me she just likes me as a friend.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Must be the horn that's on top of the fish.
Stop it. That's very cool. I like that. But the kids are now starting to learn it in school, which is great.
It is.
But where do you apply it then? It's one thing to learn it, but, you know, you're not showing up in Honolulu speaking it.
Well, now everybody that's speaking the language of Hawaiian, either they join a halau or a hula halau, which is all Hawaiian language inside to learning the art of dance and chanting.
Because you tell the story through dance.
Correct. So everything is done in that manner. And at home, because of our parents and that generation, we're not allowed to continue their language. It's been lost. So it's restarting all over again.
Wow. But if you can go full circle and do it through an expression of dance, for example, I mean, if you look at the traditional wooden storyboards in the Polynesian, you know, the whole Polynesian culture, those Polynesian storyboards made out of long pieces of wood told stories of entire villages, which then were enacted by dance and then the song with the language.
We invented sign language.
You did not. You did not. You know what I have to say to you? I'm going to give you a Hawaiian word. You ready for this, Richard De Leon?
Go ahead.
You're pow. You're done.
And we'll say, ah, hui ho.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you what that means because we'll be thrown off the air. By the way, your website is Hawaiian Eyes. It's Hawaiian-Eyes.com. If you want a truly authentic tour of Maui, complete with your singing, by the way, I might say, which is lovely, you go to Richard. I appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
When we come back, more of your emails, more of your phone calls, and we're going to take a little look at Hawaiian cuisine the regional way with our good friend Mark Ellman, who goes too many years with me to the days of Hawaiian regional cuisine. I have to tell you, that's 20 years ago. Okay, I'm feeling old. You feeling old? Okay, when we come back, we'll talk to Mark about that. He's got some great restaurants here. He's got a book out as well. Speaking of Hawaiian culture, it's called Practice Aloha. And you know what? We should. Bottom line is, aloha doesn't just mean hello and goodbye. It's more about the spirit. Right, Richard? I got to correct that of you.
It's unconditional love.
Ooh, I like that. People need to practice that. You know what?
We should start our language and our conversation with it.
Go ahead, do it.
Yeah. Say aloha.
Aloha.
And we say aoiho until we meet again. It never an end.
That's right. I've had dates like that. Well, that's another story. We'll be back with more from the Wailea Bates Marriott Resort and Spa. Aloha with Richard De Leon. Remember, it's Hawaiian-Eyes.com. And for those of us old enough to remember that television series, Hawaiian Eye. Now I'm really old. We'll be back.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Coming to you from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa here in Maui. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me at peter@petergreenberg.com. And I encourage you to go to our website with the imaginative name of petergreenberg.com, because you'll find a comprehensive list there of all the relief and aid organizations doing that essential work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, and, of course, in the Gulf. It's never ending. Anybody who thinks that just because Haiti's not on the front pages, it's gone, is wrong. It's on our front pages. And if you go to that website, we'll tell you how to get physically, smartly involved, not just donating money, but donating your presence, your physical presence and your time. It's the best vacation you could ever have because you're giving back, and it gives back to you in so many important and everlasting ways. Let's go to some emails first. We got one from Carol in Bend, Oregon. She goes, what is the tipping policy in Holland, America? You know, I get angry when the traditional tipping policy on most cruise ships used to be they put envelopes in your room and they told you what to tip. And you got really nasty looks if you didn't. You know, if you look at the derivation of the word tip, it means to ensure promptness or to ensure service. And I think that either you have a no-tipping policy like you have on Silver Sea, where you're paying more for your cabin, but people really get generously tipped based out of that, or you just do it based on the service you're getting and not based on some kind of prearranged minimums, because it takes away from the art of the experience. It does for me. I've been at restaurants where I've tipped 40%. I've been at restaurants where I gave them a photograph of a dime because they weren't going to get a dime from me on that. However, you also have to ask one more question when you're on a cruise ship. Where do the tips go? I remember at a hotel once, I checked into a hotel. I'll tell you the name of the hotel. It was the Hilton Point Hotel in Arizona, in Phoenix. And I didn't have any bags. I went to my room. The next morning, there was a bill under my door. And there was a bill for the room, which I expected. And there was another charge there called $10 mandatory tip to bellman. And that really got my attention. So I called the bellman on the phone, who I'd seen the night before because I got up early. He was still on duty. And his name was Manny. And I said, "Hey, Manny, what's this?" He goes, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Manny, do you get this?" He goes, "No." "Doesn't even go to you?" Well, I was there to give a speech to 400 hotel general managers on service, and they were going to be staying for the next 2 days, so they hadn't seen their bill yet. So I said, "Manny, I want you to be my guest this morning for the speech, and I want you better bring your general manager, because this is not going to be pretty." And we got rid of that charge immediately. We turned it into a revival meeting, because, you know what, that was just garbage. So, Carol, you know what you do? You tip what you think everybody's worth on that ship. And you know what? You'll know right away, because your wine steward or your waiter at dinner, you know, by the second night, they know you by your first name, and they're really happy. Because you know what? The thing that you need to know is that an overwhelming number of people who work on cruise ships bank every dime they get, and it goes home to their relatives in third world countries. And you know what? When you know about that, you tip accordingly, because you're supporting an entire family, and don't forget that. Just wanted you to know that. Now, shifting gears, but we'll get into tipping with you in a second, Mr. Ellman. I go back 20 years with this guy. It goes back to the days of the start of what they used to call HRC, Hawaiian Regional Cuisine. It was started by Chef Gordon and Beverly Gannon and my next guest, Mark Ellman, and a few other notable great chefs around the world. We all got together in Los Angeles and inaugurated it at Arnold Schwarzenegger's restaurant, which is called Shotzi. And there were cookbooks that came out, and in those days, I knew Mark. We were both heavier, by the way.
A little bit heavier.
A little bit heavier. And those days, you had a restaurant here called Avalon.
Yep.
And where I ate many times. And, of course, Beverly had her restaurant, which she still has, called the Haile'i Miley General Store. But now Mark's got, 65 restaurants? Well, how many restaurants do you have now?
Actually, I only have two right now. I had 11 a year ago.
See, okay.
And sold a bunch of them. Sold yep. 9, and I have 2.
I did the math.
Okay. And now we have the Mala Wailea,
which I had dinner just here last night. It was great.
Thank you. At the Wailea Beach Marriott.
What a coincidence.
Yes.
But you know what's amazing? I mean, I had, first of all, our producer, Sarah Kashala, has not been to Hawaii, so she'll believe anything you tell her.
Right.
You see? Well, last night she ordered the complete fish.
Oh.
She had never had that before. And what was amazing about that was that, you know, it comes with the whole fish, of course.
Yes, whole wok fried fish.
Exactly. But all she had to do was touch it, and it fell off the bone.
Hope she enjoyed it.
She did.
Because actually, snapper just came back in the season, which is opakapaka. And we serve that in a ginger garlic black bean sauce.
Of course, I was easy last night. I just wanted the stir fried snap peas.
Okay.
And the sugar snap peas. And, of course, I had to go for the bread pudding. Would you explain what's in that bread pudding?
Kona coffee, cream and butter. Sugar.
That explains the stretcher they had to call.
Yes. A little bit of egg as well.
Yep. Not bad.
But it's very good.
How has the cuisine changed? Because, you know, back in 1992,
right.
Hawaiian regional cuisine was cutting edge because nobody even knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, and neither did we, and that's why we all sort of got together as 12 chefs. And what's happening today, locavorism. From the farm to the table. And that's really what HRC, Hawaii Regional Cuisine, started out as.
But, you know, it's interesting because I remember when they opened up the original Hyatt Grand Wailea, right, which is now the Waikoloa, which was now a Hilton. But when they opened it, it was so big, it consumed so many resources, that there was not a local producer on the Big Island that could support that hotel. They were literally barging over their lettuce, shrink-wrapped, and vacuum sealed. So if you ordered a salad, somebody would open up, hit a bag, you know.
Yep.
But now things have changed
just tremendously.
Because you can get local, purveyors who can support everything.
We have local lettuce, which 10 years ago we couldn't have on a daily basis consistently. Like you were saying, we have local tomatoes, which were unheard of. we have so many great local products now. And the, it was the chefs working with the farmers in that first meeting with you and Shep and Bev Gannon and Peter Merriman was a meeting with the farmers. And we promised and dedicated, we will buy this if you grow it. If you grow it, we will buy it. And
that's, but it took a while to get to that level because you need to be able to sustain it.
Right, because you just don't open a door and pop some seeds down and you got food the next day. But it took a long process. And
okay, so we got the tomatoes, we got the lettuce. We also have the beef. For people eating beef, you've got locally grown beef.
Local beef. Of course, we have lots of fresh fish, which is the number one consumption in restaurants here in Hawaii.
It better be.
And it's so fresh and clean and wonderful. We have local eggs. There's a whole, almost a cottage industry of backyard farmers creating vegetables, herbs, eggs, cheese. It's just, it's mind-boggling. It's never-ending.
There's Hawaiian cheese.
There's Hawaiian cheese. There's Surfing Goat Farm Dairy up right here on the Haleakala, which is a giant goat farm where he's producing fabulous fresh goat cheese.
Amazing. What's the biggest surprise that's being produced in Hawaii now that wasn't produced back then?
Well, coffee is super big. I mean, before coffee was really just dedicated in the Kona area.
Right.
And now there's coffee on Kauai. There's coffee on Molokai. There's coffee upcountry Maui. And there's coffee in Ka'anapali. And it's fantastic. In Ka'anapali right now, they're producing a variety of bean called Moka, M-O-K-A. It's produced nowhere else in the world. It's the only place you can get this variety of bean. From Ka'anapali Coffee Company. It's fantastic. Organic, natural.
Now, you've got a new book out called Practice the Law. You even have your own bumper stickers here.
Yes, we do.
Tell me the whole history of this.
At Mala Wailea and Mala Ocean Tavern in Lahaina, our mission statement for our employees is practice aloha. We want them to practice aloha with the customers. I need myself to practice aloha with my employees. I had this idea a few years ago, you know, coming from Los Angeles, moving to Hawaii, what does aloha mean? What does it really mean? I know what I think it means, but I want to know what residents, what they felt it meant. And what this book is, Practice Aloha, it's 140 Hawaii residents, everybody from Congressman Neil Abercrombie to Mick Fleetwood to Helen Hunt to the Cosimero brothers to Mr. Bill Countryman's daughter behind me and some surfers.
Bill Countryman, of course, the regional manager of Marriott. He's
yes.
not just like the regular man. He's the regional
yes,
guy.
Yes, he
yeah.
is.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's 140 stories of what aloha means to them. And it's from pure Hawaiians to part Hawaiians to just people born and raised here. It was a labor of love, and it came out just fantastic. And it was released this week, and it'll be in bookstores the next couple of weeks. Please ask for Practice Aloha at Amazon.com as well.
Now, other than that over-the-top plug you just gave me, but that's
okay.
Oh,
was that a plug?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, Mr. Ellman,
yeah.
What is the coming-age food that we should know about here? What do you think is going to be the next horizon?
You know, I think it's sort of, you know, the food, the cuisine went this, and it's coming back to normalcy, and it's coming back to, I mean, comfort food, obviously, has been around.
Well, mac and cheese.
You had mac and cheese.
I had that last night.
Oh, with the bread pudding.
I was going for,
okay.
yeah, I was
okay.
really
okay.
cheating
last night.
That music means the
oh,
cheating
done?
Segment. Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
We're pal.
Well, thank you, Peter.
The name of the book, again, Practice Aloha, Secrets to Living Life Hawaiian Style, compiled and edited by Mark Ellman and Barbara Santos. Hey, Mark, great to see you again.
Aloha, Peter.
And 36 pounds lighter. I love it, man. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa out here in Maui, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-887-3837. 888-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we will solve it right here on the air. You know, we just came through the fifth anniversary of Katrina. Hard to believe, but true. And there's still so much more work to be done in that region, not just in Louisiana, but in Mississippi as well. And the real question is, what can people do to make a difference? The rebuilding effort takes many different forms and many different avenues. And the folks at Choice Hotels have just launched a rather innovative music initiative to support nonprofit causes. And their first song out of the gate is really to benefit the efforts in Katrina. And joining me now from Choice Hotels, Ann Madison. Hey, Ann.
Hi. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know, when you think hotels, you don't necessarily think about music. I mean, how did this all come to be?
Well, it came about as part of an Earth Day experiment we did. We were looking for new ways to be innovative in the corporate social responsibility front, and we also want to be able to create some unique content that's on our website for our guests. We've got a very powerful website, so we wanted to be able to combine the power of not only our website, but the power that we can give into various community initiatives. So we started with an effort, just a little test, and then we decided we wanted to partner with our signature cause, Rebuilding Together, which has a great effort in New Orleans going on.
And then how did the song come about?
And the song came about because we were talking to a musician by the name of Holly Montgomery, and she has some ties to an interest in New Orleans, and I'll let her speak to that. But we asked her if she would help us by creating a song, and she made an amazing song. She wrote it, and she produced it, and it put all the music behind it, and it's absolutely wonderful to remind people 5 years after Katrina that there's still so much more to be done.
Well, you know, we've got a couple of clips from it. It's called My Brother's Keeper. We'll talk to Holly in just a second. Jeff, back in New York, why don't you run it? And joining us now, Holly Montgomery, who sang that. Hey, Holly.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Oh, happy to do it. I mean, how long did it take you to write the song?
I would say that from start to finish, it took me probably a week, you know, just to get everything right and to figure out exactly what I wanted to say. It took me probably a week to write it. It took a little bit longer to arrange it, but that was the writing part.
Well, exactly. Now, give me the mechanics of this. I mean, once people hear the song, they can download it. Is that the way it works?
Right. Choice Hotels, like Ann was saying, they have a very powerful website. And if you go to choicehotelsmusic.com, the download is up for free. You can download the song, and Choice will donate $1 for every download to Rebuilding Together. And the money will go right to the charity that helps. It's helping rebuild the houses there.
Now, Ann, this is the first song out of the gate. What else do you have planned?
Well, we're not going to reveal all that right now, but I can tell you that we've got a diverse array of music, all different kinds of genres, different organizations that we're going to be supporting. We've got an organization that supports putting people with disabilities to work and create independence for them. We are doing things on a number of fronts for people who have medical issues, people who just are disadvantaged in certain ways, people that need a hand. And we're really, really proud to be a part of doing this and really being a first in many ways.
And what's been the response so far?
The response has been unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. We have, you know, there have been more than 10,000 downloads of the song. Our CEO, Steve Joyce, wants to be able to double the donation to Rebuilding Together. Rebuilding Together is the nation's largest nonprofit that works to preserve affordable home ownership and revitalize neighborhoods. The work they are doing in New Orleans is just one of many communities, but the work they're doing in New Orleans has just been tremendous. They are working toward a goal of 1,000 homes in the Gulf Coast, and they did 50 homes in 1 week, the last week of August.
That's amazing. Ann Madison from Choice Hotels, Holly Montgomery, who sang it, of course, and wrote it. Let's play a little bit more till we go to the break.
The water's rising and it
to choicehotels.com to download My Brother's Keeper. Back right after this.
To talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Wailea Beach Marriott Resort and Spa here in Maui. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, no problemo. You just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. My next guest, I got to tell you, I'm just tired reading about what this woman has done. Her name, Chrissy Wellington. She's actually competing in the Ironman. That has got to be the toughest competition known to man. I don't care about the marathon at the Olympics. I don't care about anything else. When you talk about Ironman in Hawaii, just entering the race, I would basically be in orthopedic surgery. Finishing the race, I'd be dead. Well, she's not dead. She's alive. She's on the phone. Hey, Chrissy.
Hi, Peter. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, listen, I'm telling you, I mean, you're going for your fourth consecutive gold medal. This is unbelievable. That's on the Big Island, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I first raced there as a rookie professional in 2007 and surprised myself and many others by winning, and I backed up twice since then. So, yeah. In a couple of weeks' time, October the 9th, I'll be towing the line and trying to defend the crown for the fourth win.
Okay, stupid question. How do you train for this? And how, are you training every day?
One word, hard. yes, I train every day. I train about 11 months of the year, 7 days a week. I'll take the occasional day off. Of course, you know, professional athletes have the luxury that others don't, in that we can rest between sessions. But I do train very hard, 4 to 6 hours a day, a balance between swim, bike, run, and strength work. And then, of course, you've got your nutrition and your sleeping and your massage and everything else besides.
Okay, I've got to ask, first of all, for those people who don't know what an Ironman is, Chrissy, it's three different things, isn't it?
Yep, it's a triathlon, and triathlon comes in many different distances. Ironman is the longest form. It's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and then we jump off the bikes and finish off with a marathon. So that's 26 miles, just over.
All right, I'm already in the emergency room. That's it. I'm done. But here's my question to you. You talk about the training, but you mentioned eating. What do you eat every day? What is your eating regimen? That's what fascinates me.
I eat a lot. I eat a healthy, well-balanced diet. And, of course, it's quite substantial, maybe 4,000-plus calories a day. A lot of complex
Whoa.
Carbohydrates.
So you're carbing up.
I carb up, but I... you know, it's a balance. We also have to, you know, get your proteins, get your good fats. I'm fortunate to be sponsored by Cytosport, so I get a lot of muscle milk recovery drink, which is really helpful to me. But yeah, it's an integral part of training is fueling and of course hydrating your body, not only in training but also as you recover during the race and then after the race as well.
Is there something that you want to eat that you're dying to eat right now but you're not eating?
Nothing is off limits, but I have to say a really nice, big, huge, deep pan pizza is something that I haven't had for quite a while with lots of cheese on it. You know, one of the big, thick, deep pan ones, not the Italian thin style.
So if somebody's listening to the show from Domino's, they need to be at the finish line with a huge 18-incher waiting for you.
That would be absolutely fantastic. Size matters in terms of pizza, and 18-inch would more than satisfy my appetite, I think.
Okay, but stupid question. After finishing that triathlon, that Ironman, could you actually even eat it?
It takes a little while. It's such a mixture of emotions when you cross the line, you know, euphoria and pride and happiness and satisfaction. And you've got all this adrenaline rushing through your body, not to mention the sugar high that you've had because you've been consuming quite a lot of sugary products. But, you know, after 45 minutes, 1 hour, the hunger pangs definitely set in, and you can find me with a plate of fries or a burger in my hand.
So basically, at the end of the Ironman, you're going to eat a cow.
Or two. So, you know, all the herds of cows on Hawaii should probably be beware.
Well, Chrissy Wellington, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And October 9th is the day, and you'll be out there. It's amazing the work that you do. And have a steak for me, too.
I will. Thanks so much for having me on, Peter. Have a great day.
Thank you, Chrissy. Amazing, amazing to be able to do that. When we come back, a little bit of restoration work in Lahaina, stuff you need to know about before you ever come to Maui. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837.